Hello, everybody. Welcome to another first run of Bald Movies. This week, we're talking about the latest Star Trek and the reboot series, the Justin Lin Two Trekkius. It's actually Star Trek Beyond. And also, we screwed up. Jim left town.
Jim is here. I'm Jim.
Jim's on vacation. He's in Colorado and could not join us tonight. So my girlfriend is gracious enough.
I have a name, you know.
Cecily. Who is gracious enough.
I'm a reality television star.
She's not all that gracious, but she begrudgingly helped out and stepped in and started doing, and came with me to watch the movie and to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
As is our want, we're going to give our spoiler-free take up front, talk about some trailers, and then get into the spoiler section where we can talk about the nitty-gritty. But first, just to put some context, what is your kind of history of Star Trek, Cecily?
I have one.
Is it a checkered history?
I watched my brother. I was always into whatever my brother was into. Uh-huh. So the Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah.
With Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his name was, what was his, the name of the captain?
You know what? I resent the implication.
His name is Captain Patrick Stewart.
Jean-Luc Picard. Okay. I know that at least. You did do a fun quiz last night where I terribly failed, but I was very young. I watched the entire series, but then again, I also watched the entire season of Orange is the New Black last month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that either.
Mm.
So, it's there in the memory bank somewhere.
Not
as deep as yours and Jim's, though, so I'm sorry to disappoint anyone that was expecting a knowledgeable podcast.
Well, here's the thing. I think this is interesting because you've got kind of both spectrums. And I came home and did a little bit of research because I thought there's got to be some things that I missed. And it turns out that some of the reference to this were only meaningful if you were an Enterprise fan that made it to season two. And I...
Yes. So there were multiple times throughout the movie where you laughed and looked at me for some sort of mm-hmm. acknowledgement. And I just smiled because I had no idea what the reference was.
Right. So I'm a lifelong Trek fan, but I like good Trek. And it used to be, it's kind of like being, you know, you used to say, oh, I'm a Star Trek fan or I'm a Star Wars fan. Well, then you had to be like, well, I like Star Wars, but the prequel sucked.
Why does it have to be one or the other? Can't we all just get along?
Well, so, I mean, because they decided to make crappy Star Trek. Like, I bailed on Voyager about season two. I forced myself to watch the first season of Enterprise, and then I bailed on it, too. All the Scott Bakula in the world couldn't make me stay.
So which one is Deep Space Nine? The first or the last or somewhere in between?
That would be the third Star Trek series. You had the old series with Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. The new series with Riker, Picard, and Data.
Yeah.
Then you had Deep Space Nine. Then you had Voyager. Then you had Enterprise.
I see.
So I guess a lot of this stuff... I don't know, because I did not like this film. I thought this was a continued devolution of Star Trek films into not just fun summer fare, but kind of brain-dead summer fare.
I agree. The best parts of the movie were in the trailer.
Yeah.
The trailer was so exciting.
Yeah. I think that the plot doesn't make much sense. I think that the best... So I'll tell you about what this Star Trek does right is, number one, the special effects are awesome. They're both throwback and retro.
Oh, yeah. The movie looked amazing.
And like, just simple stuff, like the Enterprise moving through warp. And then somehow they used, an actual bubble effect. Like, it was moving through this subspace substance, and it was very cool.
Right, and same with the shield and camouflage technology.
Yeah, getting to the Yorktown space station was very cool.
Yeah.
They just go to a space station early and get refitted. And I thought that was... everything about that space station was amazing and high-tech and very cool, and I wanted to see more of it.
Right. It's like New York if they stopped throwing trash on the ground.
Exactly. And they lived in an Inception dream.
Right.
The other thing that they continued to nail, is the characterizations of the classic characters, especially... Right. You know, that's the thing that I think that came across in the first two movies is mm-hmm. that, you know, how much McCoy and Spock don't get along. They're kind of oil and water, but you never got the genuine affection that you got after watching them for three seasons and six movies. 6.5 movies.
Right, they don't mix, but they lay next to each other nicely.
But in this movie, I thought that they really did, you know, like, there was situations where you really believe the relationship there.
Right.
The relationship between Kirk and Spock was awesome.
And I feel like Chris Pine himself is getting older, or they just kind of aged him up a little bit to be about mid-30s, 40s? Mm-hmm. What is he supposed to be? But
That's the thing. I don't... So he's halfway through his five-year mission,
right?
Which means he's... And he got the commission.
He's three years into his five-year mission.
And he got his commission like as soon as he graduated Starfleet. So I think he's at the latest 30.
Okay.
But he does... He's world-weary. He's like... I've been in deep space
What I was going to say is that he, in a very believable modern way, did the William Shatner thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were a few pauses and sentences that were a little too long.
not completely devolving into parody.
Exactly,
but
exactly.
And that's the thing. They do these impressions, and, you know, Carl Urban's got this really good... DeForest Kelly, and Zachary Quinn's got an amazing Leonard Nimoy, and they even
Carl Urban's got a really good Judge Dredd too.
Sure,
if you haven't seen that movie,
he's kind of an amazing character
right
actor. Like he might be the new Gary Oldman when all said and done.
Yes.
But the other thing is, I think that they even had some good, like Simon Pegg co-wrote this movie, and he gave you know, Scotty some juicy parts too.
Yeah.
So I felt like that they continued to nail the cast moments, and that's where a lot of the humor from this film came from, is just watching, you know, McCoy bitch at Spock, and that was funny. And
yeah, everyone's performance and their chemistry was great. I mean, as great as it's always been for these newer, updated versions.
Yeah.
It was just the story was just off mark.
I do like, because it has a bit of... I mean, I don't want to say too much about the story, except for I will say that this is the first of the new Star Treks that have what attempts to be a message, which was a hallmark of the best Star Trek films. Star Trek at its best. And I think that this succeeded in having that.
Can you say, without spoiling it, what the message is, just generally?
Whether you support unity and peace or division and belligerence.
I think the message is being alone will drive you crazy.
So I appreciate that this is the first one that's got like something that they actually are trying to say, I think. But I just felt like the plot was silly. It didn't make sense. It didn't feel, in a lot of places, it didn't feel like Star Trek.
Right.
What I consider what Star Trek is, you know, it's no, I mean, they show in the trailer that Star Trek, that the Enterprise gets fucked up, but which that's like, I feel like, you know, the Enterprise gets destroyed in 1/4 of the Star Trek films at this point.
It literally means nothing. You can just make a new one like that.
Well, I remember like when the Enterprise was destroyed in The Wrath of Khan, it was a, not the Wrath of Khan, it was destroyed in The Search for Spock. It was a genuine moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was super sad. And that you know, the loss of the Enterprise was a big feature of Star Trek IV.
Right, and I felt that for a microsecond before I realized that they wouldn't go ham on destroying the ship if we weren't going to get it back. Because you can't move forward without the ship.
Yeah, right.
You can write off Chekhov in some kind of way, but...
Sure.
You can't move forward without the ship.
And, you know, after I've seen the Starship Enterprise destroyed five times on film, I guess it's just lost a little bit of its luster, you know?
Yeah, it has. You can only see it destroyed so many times before you just get bored with it.
Yeah, and it's right. That's the thing. Like, to me, Star Trek is the crew warping around on Enterprise. The Enterprise is as much of a character as any of the crew.
Yes, absolutely.
And when this happened, not at the end, but this is like an Act 1 beat.
Right.
To me, like, you're already ripping a lot of what the heart of Star Trek at is. I don't know. I didn't have a good time.
I didn't either. I think
the action scenes just go on way too long.
I enjoyed Wrath of Khan so much more, I guess, because of the villain. I liked Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan.
You're talking about Into Darkness, the twist.
The second one.
Right.
I think the first one was good because of the character beats. I think the... good one had, or the first one had the best character beats.
Right.
The relationship between Spock and Kirk, notably. But Wrath of Khan had the best villain, and this movie isn't better than anything.
I think the other thing is what I was surprised is when I went on to the message boards to look, it looks like the... It looks like amongst the hardcore Trek fans that this is seen as a very good Star Trek film, which makes me worried because, you know, I pride myself on being a Star Trek fan. I will say that a lot of people that were digging it were seemed like they were enjoying a lot of references to Enterprise,
right.
the series that I kind of noped out on. So I don't know if maybe if that's the thing, like if you're a old school Trek fan, you know, and I consider Next Generation at this point old school, then you might be scratching your head. But if you liked Voyager and Enterprise and liked seeing some of that stuff woven into the, I guess, fabric of Star Trek, it seems like that's you're going to have a better time with that. But I don't know what else to say about it without spoilers. I can make specific examples. You know, if you like, I guess, man, this is a weird review because usually I would say that it's a no-brainer to look at this on, wait for this to come out on video.
Definitely, definitely, so worth watching.
But the fan reaction,
premium movie theater prices for it.
The fan reaction is so enthusiastic on the Trek boards that I'm reading that I don't know, man. Maybe
you know what?
Lost
there was
touch.
A couple that was sitting next to us. Did you notice that they were dressed up in full Star Trek?
Yes, we had James T. Kirk and Uhura sitting next to us.
Yes, and I meant to compliment them on their costumes, but by the time I left that theater, I was so angry that I forgot.
We had a bad...
It's the movie theater experience,
full disclosure,
not the movie experience.
We had a bad movie theater experience
as well. It's the theater experience.
But I don't think a lot of that colored our feelings.
But I was
film.
Kind of gauging my reaction on that couple, and they were really enjoying themselves. But
Were getting all the I started, you know, interacting with them instead of you because I was getting nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
were uploading them, and I just sat in the corner and cried, and it was fine. It
look
was
at that,
great.
Kirk. Classic Uhura, am I right? she even had like the fucking old school tricorder.
Yeah,
it was made out of Radio Shack parts and stuff.
It was perfect.
The knee high boots.
Everything they had going on.
Yeah, and he was kind of like because she was like classic Uhura from Star Trek. He was more James T. Kirk from the movies, the new movies.
Exactly, exactly.
The Chris Pine version, but it worked. Right. It was old school, new school then. Okay, so as is our format, we're going to talk about trailers. Now, these are all trailers I think Jim and I have discussed before, but since I got fresh meat in the studio, I figured I would run it past
you. Hey, I'm a person with a name and feelings.
Whatever, host. Suicide Squad. You have read the comic books.
I have read the comic books.
And you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
I think it looks like the most fun DC film that... In fact, I think we're down to 2 weeks away on this thing. But
August 5.
Yeah. If this thing is no good, I don't know what to say about DC films. I'm really, really hoping that this is the hit that they desperately need to kind of energize the fan base and win over skeptics like myself.
I can say definitively from the trailer, Batman's going to be in it, which
surprising.
I knew before Batman v Superman came out.
I didn't. I haven't been following I haven't been following this thing at all.
Jared Leto has gone full-on Heath Ledger insane, because I guess that's what you have to do to play the Joker.
Oh, you're talking about not in the film, but like in personal
life? Yeah, like he's been...
Oh, I remember that, because a lot of the female cast members were complaining about him being...
He's been like delivering used condoms to other cast members and dead rats and like things like that. It's very bizarre.
That's what the Joker would do.
Exactly.
I did read an article about that. Like he's gone too far.
Everyone in the cast looks spectacular. The movie looks really great. I'm excited to see it. So I'm going into it also with zero expectations.
Yeah.
I am prepared for every one of those people who I'm... have a modicum of respect for to just be silly.
Okay.
So I'm excited for Suicide Squad.
Nerve. Yeah, this is the social media dare conspiracy.
No, what is this? What is this?
It's
social media?
Is
that the name of that movie?
The Social Network?
No, the one we just watched where it was shot.
Unfriended.
Unfriended, yeah.
Yeah.
This is Unfriended with worse actors.
I feel like this is the Purge crossed with Tinder.
Stoned.
I feel like this is the Purge cross with Tinder myself.
Grindr.
What? You implying the gay version of Tinder is somehow inferior? Even worse or better?
Exactly.
Oh,
suit,
exactly. Shit. I got,
you read into that what you will.
I got outmaneuvered on the moral high ground. Jason Bourne.
I'm interested, but I've never seen one single Bourne
movie.
Holy
shit,
not
really?
One single fucking one.
Well, we need to fix that.
It does look pretty crazy when he grabs the wire that he falls onto with his bare hands. So.
Yeah, and it doesn't immediately slice through. You know, that's the thing. Like, I remember seeing that in a trailer and like, God, you know, this the Bourne Identity series has really fallen because nothing ridiculous like that happens in the first one. And then I happened to be watching the first one like two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence where he literally throws a guy's body off like a 8-floor fire escape.
Uh-huh.
Surfs on his body on the way down, kills a dude right between his
hits him
right between the eyes with a pistol as he's falling at the fourth floor, then uses the guy's body as a cushion.
Jesus.
And lands on the ground and gets right off.
Is
like
Bourne...
I guess I have to retract my statement that they've always been rooted in gritty realism.
Are the Bourne movies like, are they bloody?
No.
Okay.
They're in a very much an Americanized James Bond.
Yeah, Star Trek's very much the same way. Like, you can show someone doing exactly what you just described.
Yeah.
In, like, an Eli Roth version, you would see the body explode when you hit the ground.
Right, right.
In this movie, you
his
see Jason Bourne...
His ribs push out through his back.
Yeah, you see Jason Bourne hit the ground and have, like, a drop of blood on his forehead.
Nah, this is Matt Damon. He didn't have any drops of blood.
That's the other thing about Star Trek is... They take a lot of beatings without bleeding.
Yep, a lot of fist fights. A lot of conflicts resolved in fist fights in Star Trek movies.
That's how it's been. I remember a very notable drunken fist fight with.
Oh, I know. Like you got Worf bayonet charging Borg, and Jesus. I completely have whiffed on the name of the Star Trek.
Oh shit!
With the Borg.
Oh shit! Do I know more than you?
I
just
probably
make a
not.
Wild guess?
Probably not. What
Lieutenant,
is it?
Lieutenant Florg.
Nemesis. That's
yes,
what it is,
yep,
isn't it? Star
yep,
Trek Nemesis.
Definitely.
Okay. Before I embarrass myself, boy, I'm really rusty on the Star Trek stuff. I think that is the last of the movie trailers. So
that's it.
Yeah.
There weren't more.
No, there weren't more. This is another thing. The reason this theater is so shitty.
Nah, I don't think you wrote some things down.
No, I wrote down everything. I
if
promise.
If you didn't, they were just repeats.
But that's the thing. I was committed to
and
doing.
And we'll
them
get
all.
You next week when we see him again.
Well, we won't. Me and Jim will. You will be dismissed.
Jim and I. You fuck.
Okay, yeah, I'll take the week off. So, if you don't know by now, we do these reviews that are free, and if you want to get the spoiler-filled reviews where we kind of, you know...
Wait, I'm not getting paid for this?
Not this. You get paid for the next segment.
God damn it.
But we reserve the spoiler-filled reviews for our paying customers, our club.baldmove members, or baldmove club baldmove members. And if you want to sign up for that, you can do so at club.baldmove.com. Lots of benefits for you. Go to that page to get them outlined. And if you want to hear the rest of our Star Trek review, you got to be a club member. And if not, we'll see you next week for the Jason Bourne movie.
Yes,
next week is Jason Bourne, then Suicide Squad. All right, we'll see the club members in a spoiler review.
Goodbye.
And we're back in the spoiler section. Okay, Cecily, I guess we should defend the statements we made. Here's the thing. So I found out that the Idris Elba character, which is, in a surprise twist, some kind of iguana-headed alien monster. He starts off as
yes.
a human who I did some high-speed reading, and I guess something the Enterprise introduces is a terrorist plot, that there is some hardline Terrans...
Okay.
That, which is Earth people, that are very skeptical about the different alien species, and they had this vicious war, and they don't want to support the Federation and fight to keep it from coming to fruition.
Okay.
And that the Idris Elba character, you find out that he is this, a captain from this long-lost starship,
okay.
the Yorktown, that
yes.
this starbase is named after and has a little monument to, that... Somehow he got this alien technology that sees like the Ponce de Leon to the Fountain of Youth, and he can uh-huh. suck out people's life force.
but it turns him into like this wrinkly butthole looking man.
That's the thing. He's a full-on alien.
I saw numerous aliens throughout the movie that had that look, that like stretched out face look, and it had some weird design of their skin and some kind of articulated claws in their head.
But they weren't all interrelated.
Is that a specific race?
I don't know. I don't know.
Coincidence.
I don't know. I think in this case it'd be a species. I don't think it's a racial divide when you got extra appendages and alien DNA. But the thing is it he wanted humanity to suffer a high cost, and they had this nano type virus that rips people apart at the molecular level. His Starfleet is based around that technology too. It's like macro nanite. It's like if the Enterprise was a person-sized object, and this nanite, one-man or two-man fighters that kind of ripped the thing apart and allowed them to board it. I mean, that was kind of cool, but this is essentially the plot of Star Trek VI, which is, you know, the Klingons and humans just hate each other, and they don't want to live together, and even though the rest of the galaxy wants peace, there's a couple hardliners are going to fuck everything up, and that's what this movie was about. And the twist didn't land for me, because I've never seen Enterprise, and I don't know the terrorist faction they're referring to. I don't know the Edrizi War or Zindi War. I can't remember which the alien species that caused all the
ruckus. I find
it
hard to believe that is necessary knowledge. In 2016, to try to garner a new audience, that you would make that necessary
especially
knowledge.
Especially the Enterprise, one of the redheaded stepchildren. Apologies to the redheads. That's probably super offensive.
Right.
Or stepchildren. Yeah, that's offensive on multiple levels, and I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, to the, third sister? What do you call the ugly step? No, you
just
can't.
Go with a redheaded stepchild. It's a common phrase.
The rented mule. It's the rented mule in Star Trek.
As an ass, I take offense to that.
the rented mule of the Star Trek franchise, I don't understand why you want to make the connection to that audience, but, you know, whatever. You're right. You don't need to understand it, but I got to say that my reaction to the film's plot was like, I don't understand why this guy's doing this. Like, in the first Star Trek, I understood. This Romulan guy's pissed because Romulus got fucked up and he wants revenge against the Vulcans, and that made sense. And the second one, it's Khan, and we kind of understood what his motivations were.
Right,
and
but this movie, he just, I guess, takes people and just...
He takes
makes
them,
he disappears them.
And he holds them hostage.
Except if you're a pretty young woman with a ponytail and a short skirt, he saves you for some reason.
Because he wants to lure Kirk. Again, he knows Kirk.
But
he might
somehow
even have a
he knows
against
this
Kirk.
Woman's relationship to Kirk, which isn't, I guess, all that close. I guess if he wanted some information out of her, he would go with Spock. But he didn't need information because he killed the person who gave him the information.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, and like, why did he kill that woman with nanites? Just to test the...
Is he gonna slowly kill everyone, like, one day by day until Kirk shows up? Like, why
the guy's
does
name
he
is...
decide from the jump that Uhura is important?
Right. And his name was Krall, right?
Krall. K-R-A-L-L.
I'm just saying, you got a name like that, and you use, like, a disc-shaped weapon that, like, you're, like, so close to copyright infringement of Krall the Conqueror that I don't even know what to say to you. But, the main bones of the plot, and the fact that they fuck up the Enterprise and it gets destroyed and they're crash-landing on this planet, so, I mean, there's just some hokey stuff. Kirk finding a 100-year-old motorcycle
just to give him an excuse to do a bunch of
export shit. Them plugging in Beastie Boys to literally destroy the fleet.
And calling it classical music?
Well, I mean, that's a Star Trek trope, but... The fact that, because it would be, that's essentially Beethoven.
But they're not
Beethoven.
Stupid.
What would you call it?
I would call it, I don't know, the same thing that they do now. Classic rock, maybe. Classic rap.
Ancient rock.
Something like that. But it's thousands of years in the future.
It's just a few hundred.
Is there?
Yeah, it's like the 23rd century.
You're not a bunch of stupid people now.
No.
That can tell the difference between classical music and what is traditionally called classical music and classic rock and
you know, they didn't call, they, like, Beethoven didn't refer to his music as classical music, though.
No, he didn't. We made that name for him once it became classical.
Right.
That doesn't
mean it could happen again. See,
do you? You're defending this?
I'm just saying that
that's
this
a weird
is...
stance to take. It's just dumb. It's only a few hundred years. It's just dumb.
Yeah, well, I feel like you know,
like
shit
at
drifts.
The time that they got the CD, it probably said that it was classic rock on it, so it'd make more sense that you would call it that.
Okay, so the bottom line is they decide that they find out that these all these nano macrobots are controlled by this one frequency for some reason, and that they rig up this alien engineer woman's sound system, MP3 player, to play Beastie Boys at high volume. It destroys the fleet. The nanite bots form like a giant surfing wave.
Oh, I get it. This is Mars Attack set hundreds of years in the future.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Their heads
it makes sense now.
But the way the nanobites formed into like a surfing wave,
yeah,
and
just surfed it.
The Yorktown
cool.
is surfing through that as everything's explode. I just thought that was the cringiest thing I've seen
so
in a good long while.
Bad.
I just,
it was really bad.
I mean, it almost brought it around when I forget J.J. Abrams' chubby friend. He's the collaborator. He played one of the pilots in Lost, and he was
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
He's a Starbase commander.
You'll know when you see
him. Yeah, he's the Starbase commander, and he's like, you know, during the climax where these macrobots are trying to get through to the space station, and Kirk has shared with them the secret of the Beastie Boys. They match frequencies and like crank up the volume, and then
but he didn't know it was gonna play that song.
Whatever
he's
the
like,
bass
oh,
drop
yeah.
of the Beastie Boys where it goes wah, and like the whole fucking station turns into a speaker. That almost was cool in a.
You know,
farce kind of way.
Right, if it had happened in Guardians of the Galaxy. It works.
You know what? That was an absolute Space Quest plot.
Yes.
Like, that would have worked in Guardians of the Galaxy or Space Quest. That would have been awesome. In Star Trek, it felt weird.
It felt like they were trying to capture
that
audience.
And then, of course, like, I'm not exaggerating, millions of these macrobots are destroyed in a blink of the eye. And you hear Spock say,
why not?
Captain, there's three vessels remaining. Oh, really? The three vessels remaining? Let me guess. Krall's in one of them.
Oh, yeah, the main bad guy.
How the fuck out of all that chaos did three, you know, essentially Darth Vader and his two bodyguards make it out of there?
Because he wants it more.
Yeah. And then there was this confusing fight about trying to get these nanobots, the real nanobots, not the macro nanobots, into the ventilation system of the star base.
Yeah.
But they were in the middle of the star base, and that's where the gravitational nexus
is.
And
it's
they're
up and
floating,
down.
But
and yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What did you think about?
Didn't like it.
Yeah, that was weird.
And Idris Elba's transforming into a half Idris Elba, half iguana faced butthole face monster.
Yeah.
And that doesn't.
Who speaks English? Do you still call it English?
I mean, I don't. It sounded like Idris Elba with a vocoder at that point.
Yeah,
yeah, basic.
Did. Yeah,
that's what Star Wars is called, I guess. Yeah, English.
Hashtag basic.
What were you gonna say?
What did you think about the new character Jayla?
She reminded me of the blue of one of Thanos's blue daughter from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, she did.
I mean, she's essentially a chroma-shift version of that character. So I thought that was almost again, copyright violation of Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, we're going to have this tough, maybe engineered woman, and I didn't get her motivations that... Because her ship was stolen. Like, this guy's been stealing ships and crew and doing some nefarious stuff, and she was in like one of those first wave of the attacks, and she was shacked up on the Yorktown. But the captain Idris Elba didn't know about the Yorktown because she cloaked it. But he's the one that crashed it on that planet,
right? And so he forgot about it.
Yeah, but they've had a history because she escaped from him. I don't know, man. A lot of this plot I did not get on first viewing.
I read that the character of Jayla was modeled after Jennifer Lawrence as a strong female.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
Huh.
Lead, kind of like a badass, independent woman.
Okay. Well, I mean, definitely she's one of those, you know, strong female characters in the sense that she can kick ass.
Even
Jayla, engineering stuff.
Jennifer Lawrence, Jayla.
Oh,
you
my
get
God.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of like her less now.
I just, yeah. I feel like she had much more potential, again, in the trailer. It seemed like she was going to be much more detrimental and less, like, she had a complicated backstory that ultimately didn't matter.
Yeah.
And why did we bring up James T. Kirk's birthday? It was also his father's death day. It didn't I actually
like that, and here's why.
Please help me.
In the first, like, 30 minutes of this film, I'm like, I see, you know, they got into the Wrath of Khan, but there's some other juicy material in the Wrath of Khan, the fact that Kirk was getting old, and that he was an admiral, and that he was stuck behind a desk, and that sucks, and he wants to be a captain again, and he hates birthdays because he doesn't like being reminded of his old, and the fact that they retconned it to where, in this new universe, Kirk doesn't like celebrate his birthdays even when he's young because it reminds him of when his dad died and the fact that he doesn't can't measure up in his eyes. And here we find out that Kirk was on the cusp of accepting a vice admiral role, a trajectory which would put him into that bitter old man's chair back in Star Trek III, where, you know, and there is similar that they are wearing civilian clothes and Bones gives him an antique pair of eyeglasses. And the old one, and they've that turns out to be kind of a running gag in the next two or three movies.
Yeah.
And I thought they were taking all that information, and now it's like, oh, we're going to see this Kirk do what the other universe Kirk didn't do, which is realize as a young man that, hey, I don't want to give up being the captain of the Enterprise. That's who I am. And it's going to be that story of him turning down the Vice Admiralty. And it kind of was, but right. Spock... So Spock in this has a genuine moment that the old Spock, universe Spock, dies in this universe. And it throws him for a loop because Vulcan's been destroyed and he breaks up with Uhura and says that I feel like it's my duty as a Vulcan to, you know, go find a pure Vulcan and fuck her and make more Vulcans. Like, that's what they... I mean, they don't say it in that terms because Spock is a gentleman.
Right.
But, I don't understand why Spock decided to deviate from that course, except for he just really loves Kirk and Uhura,
mm-hmm.
and like all this profound stuff he felt about Spock.
As illogical as it may be.
I mean, I did like how he found the photo in like some of Spock's belongings of the classic crew, and yeah. like I maybe if that had come first, he'd like made the realization that like I kind of like Kirk. Like, I got to do this thing. This is what I was put on Earth or put on in space to do.
Can you explain to me, is Spock younger Spock?
Yeah.
The same person?
Yes.
They're the same person. So he knows how he's going to die and what everyone looks like when they get older.
Well, but that's the thing. Why was it so important to come back and tell him? In this Star Trek, this is multi-universes.
So why was it so important for those two to come back and tell him how he's going to die and whatnot?
That was the time travel in the first movie was a consequence of the whole Romulan plot. Like, Spock didn't come back in the past to tell him that, you know, he was going to die this way. He came back to the past, what wasn't his main thing in the first movie? He just convinces Spock that, you know, what him and Kirk and the Enterprise have is special. And that even though Kirk seems like he's an asshole, he's really a good guy, and you'll become fast friends, and et cetera, et cetera.
Just a super douche because you ride the motorcycle so much.
Sure.
Without a helmet.
Yeah, man, like, I don't
care if you're a hologram or not. Safety first.
Well, just like, in my mind, bad Trek is when the captains get to ride horses, or they ride dune buggies, or they ride motorcycles. And
you know what this felt like to me? This felt like my favorite, like, bottle episode. That's not a right word for it.
Uh-huh.
Just set piece, going off to a new distant place that you would never see before, and everyone's out of their element type of episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, because that's the thing, like... It was your standard.
It's your standard.
Half the crew gets you know, imprisoned by this culture, and they can't beam them out because there's some kind of geographic anomaly.
Yeah.
So the other half of the crew has to rescue them. Except for in this particular episode, the Enterprise got blown up.
It's Bikini Cave Girl.
Everyone
gets sent back in time, and they're all stripped of all of their things, and everyone's on even footing.
Let me ask you this: why did they destroy the Enterprise if the second half of the movie is going to be them getting back to essentially an Enterprise clone? The Yorktown is a fucking starship. It's got transporters, it's got warp drive, it's got phasers, it's got all the shit you need for Star. Like, why not just have them invent some reason for them to investigate at the planet And then a bunch of them get... I don't know. I'm not because a Hollywood writer.
We need Jayla to claim the ship as her house and not enough time has passed for her to have real ownership over it.
If you have Uhura, why do you need to insert another strong female character?
Because she's got stuff on her face.
She's got a domino face.
She's white.
She literally is.
She's literally white.
She's white, like sour cream white. Like the way people joke about white people being white, she's that white.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with her.
It's just a feel like...
She just didn't live up to my expectations. I thought she'd be funnier. I thought she'd be clever. I thought she'd be more powerful.
And like the...
But here's what she amounted to, is being scared of a thing, yeah, facing the thing head on, and then being saved from the thing at the end.
And also, she's got holographic technology that allow... Her holographs can kick ass.
But they also allow James T. Kirk to ride 8 motorcycles at once, so
yes,
enjoy that.
Yeah, 8 times the motorcycle. But also, like, I couldn't understand the way those are supposed
zero
to work
times
because...
The
holographic self punches somebody, they go down. When someone punches her holographic self, it just goes right through them.
Nanobots, Aaron.
I guess.
Nano macrobots.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing.
Macro nanos.
It's funny because Jim always bitches about how fantasy they make shit up all the time, but yeah. I feel like Star Trek is the prime offender.
Right.
Of like all this fantastic technology that you see exactly once. I guess it would be interested to see what Jim thinks about the movie. But after he hears this review, I guarantee
fuck him. He went on vacation.
I guarantee he's probably not going to watch this until it comes out on video. So I don't know. Honestly, guys, I'm bummed. I was hoping that this would... I thought the Into Darkness was a step down from the first one. Like, I get it. You got to introduce it, and it's fun. And the first movie just kind of coasted on how great everyone did impressions of the classic crew. That effect is still the strongest point, but, like, just everything else has fallen down. And I thought that Lin, the director, way too Fast and Furious, man. Like, and that's the thing, like, Fast and Furious is known, like, and it's fun because I don't give a shit about the characters other than right. I want to see these ridiculous set pieces. This is ridiculous Star Trek set pieces where people are jumping
Trek
out of
Tokyo
ships
Drift.
And being exposed to vacuums and hanging on by the fingertips when they jump from ship to ship.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they have phaser rifles, but they invariably just elbow and punch each other.
Yep.
And, I don't know. Then there's this goofy shit, like the James Bond sequence at the beginning where Kirk is presenting this MacGuffin to this alien council, and they're filmed that you think that these are these giant lion beasts.
That'll just tear them to shreds if they get too angry.
And they jump down, and they're essentially the size of...
Kittens.
Like a pug.
Really, really buff cats.
Yeah, they're buff.
Or pugs.
But Kirk's now, like, fighting 50 of them. Like, this is literally the thread on Reddit where it's like, would you rather fight... one lion-sized alien or 100 duck-sized aliens.
Lions.
Yeah, something.
Wait, what?
And he's doing
that.
And
there was one that's being kept as a slave pet at the end, so...
Yeah, one of the
woo-hoo!
Governmental... Yeah, prime directive what? You're just going to kidnap an alien dignitary
exactly.
And make him a pet?
The two that you accidentally warped back with you, or what do you call that?
Transported.
Back with you? You're keeping in slaves now?
Yes, yeah, Scotty's...
That you're forcing to not wear pants, as you know?
Yeah... Yeah, Scotty's little pet alien now has a pet alien
yep.
who doesn't wear pants. He's the Donald Duck of pet aliens.
This is an intelligent being.
He is. He
speaks perfect English and has diplomatic skills. And
well,
he's a...
I don't know about that. He seems like he was willfully misunderstanding all of Kirk. Although the other thing is...
I'm just saying...
Kirk
if
didn't
you...
give a shit either. Like, it was played as humor that how bad he is at diplomacy.
No, yeah, exactly. But I think that's more of a Kirk thing and not like a... diplomacy doesn't work between these two countries type of thing.
I also thought the other thing I really enjoyed about the other Star Treks is how they resisted the whole Star Trek, you know, the whole everyone's humanoid with funky looking foreheads and ears. It seemed like there was a lot more Star Trek kind of Mos Eisley variety in the aliens that you found, whereas this
okay,
in
I
the
thought
previous
you were
Star
this,
Treks,
this
Star
okay.
Trek is gone. Like, there was maybe one or two other than humanoid-looking
like
everybody.
Like I said, they all had the same deviation of, like...
Everybody
so
had
every,
the weird heads.
Every
That's
alien
it.
Has the exact same human facial features.
Yep.
Everyone's got a nose. Everyone's got two eyes. Everyone has a mouth. Everyone has ears.
Everyone's got human-shaped
But they
teeth.
Have a slightly differently shaped things, but they're all
yeah.
in the exact same place and...
That was disappointing because
And sometimes your hair just moves, so that's the difference.
The J.J. Abrams reboot era Star Trek, I thought, did, you know, that right, where it's like, okay, this is a whole a whole galaxy.
All the women are still in fucking skirts, and not a single person has a more than 10% BMI.
Right. Well, that makes sense for an ideal future.
So, I've seen Wall-E.
So my question is, you're right. All the women are wearing skirts.
Why?
Can some of the... I mean, like, that's a personal choice. You want to wear a skirt, wear a skirt. Could some of the women be in slacks? Could some of the men be in skirts?
Yes, for real.
Scotty, for God's sakes. Can he
for
wear a dress
sakes,
kilt?
Scotty wants a kilt.
That is bizarre.
That's still happening.
Yeah. They made Sulu openly gay, which I thought was interesting.
Was he?
Yeah, he had her. He's his husband.
You know, that guy was so much older than him that I thought it was his father. My bad.
Nope. It's just a May-December kind of romance. Now, I didn't get that he was that much older, but they had like a little cute little girl that they had either.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you can get men can get pregnant in the 23rd century or they adopted her or what.
You know, honestly,
I heard there was a kerfuffle because Takei was against that.
Really?
He didn't like the fact that they made Sulu gay just because he's gay.
I mean, honestly, I didn't get that. It makes sense now, but I thought that he was just a single dad who had so much more on the line every time he was asked to get in the escape pod and was drawn back to the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked him because he was the anti-Kirk. Every time Kirk said, you've got to abandon ship, and he hesitates, he says, yes, let's abandon, instead of the James C. Kirk thing, which would have been, let's try this other thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a nice touch. Like, I like the touch of Kirk, you know, literally going down the ship. His was the last lifeboat to leave. I thought that was pretty cool. I liked Sulu kind of being in the Jim Kirk position, where it's like, I thought they were going to go, I started to worry for him, because... Kirk said, we got to give these pods a chance, which is what his dad did in the first movie. And I thought Sulu was going to do that. He was going to fight go down with
but
the ship.
I'm not sure what they could have done to give anyone a fighting
and
chance.
And you're like, well, you got, and he said, we can't do much without, unless we detach the saucer. But at this point, the ship was cut in half.
The saucer was saucered.
The saucer was completely detotured.
It was.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
I guess there was like a stub of a stem that could have been shaved off, but I'm not sure what kind of difference that makes.
Oh, yeah. That's going to really fuck up the aerodynamics as it plummets to the ground.
But, you know, all in all, I think it was really kind of Crawl to only sacrifice exactly one crew member.
Well,
the rest of them,
he was desiccating several of them.
The pods?
No, like they showed him ripping the life force out of two of them.
Sure.
And there were several of the desiccated corpses strewn about, so you're supposed to understand that he's using them to revitalize himself.
I mean, I think
and
it's
change
just,
his shape for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. You shoot like three people and then you pause on this one main character. Hey, you're not in a red shirt. What's different with you?
Yeah, so I guess like his main plot was that he was trying to pretend to be a scary alien and do this vicious attack so that the Federation would forget the 100 years of successful relations they've had with Vulcans and all the Andorians and all the other crew fuck aliens.
Right. They were tricked into coming by this one woman who was of the same race. I don't know.
I don't know.
With the face.
Well,
the
that's
ears.
The thing. I feel like there was a hint that maybe all of his dudes were former crew of the Yorktown. They were all terrorist sympathizers.
Maybe. I mean, this woman in particular
said,
my ship has been attacked. You need to help me. He's got all my crew. You need to help me. And then ultimately, you fall for anything, don't you?
Right.
I'm confused.
But that's the thing. Like, Kirk smoked her out on that second deception.
At the very end, they went through all the people and said, case closed, case closed, case closed. So did the crew really disappear? Was she part of it?
Well, I think that's...
Or was
that...
she just, from the very beginning, was just a crisis actor?
I think the case... Ooh, nice Mr. Robot.
Thank you.
Reference. I think that the Yorktown was missing... You know, and everyone is presumed dead, obviously, because they would be super old. But this was kind of like everyone is able to finally, after 100 years, it'd be like if the Titanic disappeared, you know. And
after
then,
it's been sunk for so long?
And it's been gone, but then people, it's like, oh, this is what happened to them. I don't know. That was a weird moment, too.
I don't know. Those are just my final thoughts. Yeah. I don't know that I have anything else.
Yeah, and I'm bummed. And like, if you're a Trek fan and you want to go into forums and tell me what an asshole I am, that's fine. I'm used to it at this point.
I mean, again,
I didn't go in this movie not wanting to like it.
Right.
Like,
definitely see the movie. Don't pay real people money for it.
Well, are you suggesting...
Don't go to work all day and just slave away and sweat and hate your job and then go watch this movie because...
Yeah, wait for it to be out.
You need
on,
to treat yourself.
On demand or something. I don't know. If you do like it, I don't begrudge it, and I'm not going to say that... Because that's the other thing, is I felt like there's a lot of this movie I didn't understand, which I might like it better on a second viewing, or if I was more versed in the Enterprise lore.
Or if I weren't so angry about my movie theater experience. Right. There's all kinds of things that could have gone differently.
So, like, yeah, if you like this movie, then I'm happy for you. Maybe we can talk about it in the forums, because, you know, like, whereas, I aggressively hated Batman versus Superman, and I thought it was dumb, and a lot of plot just didn't make sense. This, like, I feel like a lot of plot doesn't make sense, but I wasn't as angry.
I wasn't angry at the movie. I'm just making a bad joke.
I thought this was going to be, a really good Star Trek, but it was just... It's not as bad. It's not like Star Trek Insurrection bad, or Star Trek Generations bad, or Star Trek... Journey to the Center of the Universe, Find God. God damn it. One in between the Voyage Home and the Undiscovered Country.
Wrath of Khan?
Yeah, no, it was in Star Trek V.
Nope.
It's where this Spock found out he had a half-brother Cybok, and they went to the
wrong person for answers.
Anyway, it wasn't that bad, but it's certainly not... original Star Trek reboot good.
It's not Saving Whales bad, but...
Star Trek 4 is an all-time classic.
Fuck
Do
you,
not put it in the bad Star
movie.
Trek. You're insane.
That's up there with Superman turning back time by spinning
Jesus
around the world
Christ,
fast enough.
You could not be more wrong.
Nope.
You could not be more wrong.
So bad.
Star Trek 4 single-handedly saved the whales.
Did they? Or
they
is Blackfish still a thing?
They fuck... Oh, so, like, that's...
I don't care. You can defend
I'm
it.
I'm actually visibly angry. You just shut your whore mouth. You shut your whore mouth. Next, you're going to start talking shit about Wrath of Khan.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. That motherfucker.
Okay. So, this is a thing. And now I'm going to go to bed angry tonight. Hope you enjoyed this review. Hope you enjoyed the movie better than we did, if you're looking forward to seeing it this weekend.
Don't ever watch that whale movie. And
the Star Trek 4 is the bomb. And Cecily's insane. And we will... I don't know when Cecily and I will be back, but me and Jim will be back next week with the Bourne... Jason Bourne.
It's just a movie.
The Bourne finality.
Next Thursday evening / Friday morning.
You know, I wasn't excited about it, and then... I liked the Jason Bourne films, but I wasn't, like, super jazzed about it. And then I saw Matt Damon get on Reddit, and he did an AMA, and he, like, did...
No shit.
Yeah, and he gave, like, really long, thoughtful answers, and was so clearly such a cool guy that I started getting sentimental, and now I'm kind of, like, super invested in it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's Matt Damon and Julia Stiles going out on top, I hope.
Okay.
With the old-ass Tommy Lee Jones.
I'll take your word for it.
All the jokes we made about him in the No Country for Old Men, it's going to be that, only he's now, like, 7 years older. So I can't wait to see what Jim thinks about that. But that's what we'll be back for next week, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.